next weekend. They're coming in Saturday, I think. Their plans have changed several times. So they were supposed to be here last week and just kind of use the Prophet's Chamber as a hub, but had some change of plans. And so they're going to be here, I think, Friday or Saturday this week. So, all right, those are the announcements. Genesis chapter 25. Don't have a lot of notes on this one, so that doesn't mean anything. I don't know. Genesis 25. I just want to explain something that is so often misunderstood by some, and then others who may not, you know, the Calvinists take these verses and they make them say things they don't say, and then folks who aren't necessarily Calvinists or fatalists also don't know what to do with the verses, but they know that, you know, God just randomly picking people to be saved and not saved is not really how things work. So, but you come to a few verses like this and you're kind of like, well, I don't know, maybe there's something to it. Let's read, and then I'll explain the problematic thoughts, and then I'll explain the interpretation of this. But let's do this. Verse 19, Genesis 25:19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan-Aram, sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. The verse that says, verse 23, two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So that's typically, here's the misinterpretation of that. People come to this verse and they say, okay, so God has predestined Jacob to be the heir. Now we look back, we know Jacob is, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know that. But when God says this, and I don't want to jump too far ahead. We'll pray first, and then we'll dig into this thing. Father, I pray we could get some help out of these verses and learn about you, learn about the way you say things, and sort of dissolve a mindset that is really difficult to get over when you come to some of the wording in here. But I pray that we could deal with it the way it needs to be dealt with and get the right understanding of what you're saying here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you and I have the benefit of obviously hindsight, and you got Isaac, and Jacob becomes the heir through which the promises will come. And Jacob is not the heir because he's a better person than Esau. He's not the heir because Esau is worse than Jacob. You could say, well, Esau was carnal. Well, you could probably say Jacob was carnal. I mean, they're both sort of carnal people. And this statement, what some folks do is they come to this statement that Rebekah's about to have twins, and God just picks out one of the twins and says, you're going to be the guy. And so they take that to say, well, see, God just picks people before they're born. He just picks them. He picks the winners and the losers. He picks whether you're going to be saved or whether you're going to be lost before you're even born. And they'll take this, and then they'll go over to Romans chapter 9, which explains this, and even further dig down and say, see, God just, he just picks winners and losers. In fact, go over to Romans chapter 9, and let's really get you steeped in this mindset before we ruin the whole thing. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. It says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Boy, that sounds like Calvin. That's just God just picking and choosing winners and losers. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we then say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So people take these two verses, this account in Genesis, and then Paul's explanation in Romans, and they say, see, you know, God, before they're even born, God has already picked out Jacob, and he said, Jacob's going to be the guy, and Esau's not going to be the guy. Except that's not what he said. He didn't say Jacob's going to be the guy. What did God actually say? Anybody read what God actually said? The elder shall serve the younger. He didn't say Jacob's going to be my guy. He just said, the elder shall serve the younger. So he's not. The first thing you got to remove yourself from, it's really difficult when you get into this, these Calvinistic, fatalistic ditches, because everything you read is filtered through that lens, and it's hard to step away from that perspective. What God said is, I'm going to ignore the common way of blessing people. The common way is the elder gets this, the elder gets the inheritance, younger, you know, it goes to the elder. And so this is the normal way things are done. So when the Lord says this, when the Lord says, the elder shall serve the younger, what he's going to do is, he's going to, number one, promote his own power, which is what's said in Romans, and I'll explain that in a second, but let's dig in a little bit more in this. When Abraham has Isaac, now Isaac has, he's going to have children. And so the question becomes now, who gets the promise now? Who gets the inheritance? Because the problem now is Rebekah has twins. It's not just one child. Now you've got two children born at the same time. Okay, Lord, what do you do with this situation? It went Abraham, that was easy to do. Isaac, okay, we got that one figured out. Little rough patches there, but Isaac, he's the one. And now it's going to go to the firstborn. Except the problem is, Rebekah has twins. So, who do we pick? Who gets the blessing here? Who gets the inheritance? And so, anyhow, you see the trouble. You see the issues at stake here. And then you see what God says. The elder shall serve the younger. And then, you know, if you get this fatalistic mindset, well, God just picks winners and losers, and you go right to Genesis 25, and you go right to Romans 9, and you say, see, God, righteous in everything he does, and he chooses some people to hate, and he chooses some people to love. And that's how people take these verses. So let's actually deal with what's said and sort of dismantle this. And if you haven't ever encountered this stuff, I'll say this. You probably have encountered Calvinism. You just don't know that you've encountered it. It takes its forms and it's fatalistic. It's, you know, God's controlling everything, and you know the diseases, and he's making bad things happen, and he's putting people in car wrecks, and you know this just happened because God just willed it. And none of that stuff's true. None of that stuff's true. You live in an evil world where bad things happen and people make bad decisions, and those bad decisions have consequences. And God didn't make somebody go to the bar and get drunk and run a family off the road. That God didn't make that happen. That was somebody's choice. It's people's choices. And so but you get these fatalistic ideas. And so if you're a big reader of Christian books, most of the publications are Reformed type publications and Calvinistic type publications, just so you know. That's how the mentality spreads. It's spread through publication, and I don't know how they've been successful at doing it, but for years, since John Calvin wrote volumes and volumes and controlled a printing press in Geneva, they've really been in control of a lot of the publications that go out in Christianity, even to this day. And that's how the idea spreads. So you probably got a dose of this stuff, whether you knew it or didn't know it. And it comes out in, you know, just, well, God just wills it. He just willed this. You know, it's just God's controlling it. He's just controlling all this stuff. And that's not true. He clearly gives people a choice. People make decisions. So all that said, these are two of the greatest examples, Romans 9, Genesis 25, the greatest examples that fatalists use to say God just chooses winners and losers. And you and I look back on this and we say, okay, well, when the Lord said the elder shall serve the younger, in our minds we say, well, that means he's saying Esau's going to serve Jacob. But that's not what he said. That's not what he said. You know, put it this way. If Esau had been the younger, you know who would have got the blessing? Esau. You know what God said? The elder shall serve the younger. But we look back and we say, well, he's talking about Jacob. He's specifying the man Jacob. He's specifying the man Jacob. He's not specifying the man Jacob. What God is doing when he says this, two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. This is all God's doing. Just so his power can be manifested, he ignores the natural process of blessing. And he just flips the thing on his head, just like he had done with Isaac's birth. He ignored the fact that Sarah could not have children. In fact, he waited until she couldn't have children in order to give her a child. What he's doing is all through this line, He is manifesting his power so that there is no other claim other than what God says. And so there's not this claim by the older brother to say, you know, this is my inheritance or whatever. It really doesn't matter when God says the elder shall serve the younger, which one of them is first. And you got to try to wrap your mind around that. It doesn't matter who comes first. It doesn't matter if Esau comes first. It doesn't matter if Jacob comes first. It doesn't matter who comes first. All the Lord is doing is taking the natural course and doing something unnatural. Something that is going to be God's power and not man's power. Otherwise, Esau gets all the blessings. You say, well, why is Esau so rich? Well, Esau is the firstborn. But you know what God does? He just flips it on his head. He said, no, the elder's going to serve the younger. And I'm going to make sure the younger one is the one that gets my protection and is the heir to the promise and all that stuff. And so with all that said, you go back over to Romans, and I'll read this again in that light. This is what he says. This is the way Paul explains it. It's not about picking and choosing the man. It's about turning the natural order of things on its head so that God gets the glory out of it. It's not about Jacob being a better man than Esau because Esau sold his birthright for, you know, some Campbell's soup or something. It's not about that. It's just about God's glory being manifested. So he takes the natural order of events with Sarah. He waits till Sarah can't have children, and then boom, he gives her a child. Then who gets the glory out of that? Well, Sarah can't produce children. You know who gets the glory out of that? God got the glory out of that. Now he comes to this situation where there's twins. What do? Well, we just turn the natural order on its head. The elder shall serve the younger. Well, that's not the way things are supposed to work. Here's the way Paul explains it. Verse 11, Romans 9. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. There is no reason to pick Jacob over Esau. There's no reason to pick Esau over Jacob. Jacob's not a better man. Esau's not a better man. None of that. These individuals have done nothing. They're not even born yet. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. The Lord is just highlighting his own power in the life of this family. And so every opportunity he has with the children, he turns the natural order of things upside down or ignores the natural order for the purpose of his own glory. And if you can just, I understand, we look back and we say, you know, he just picked Jacob over Esau. He didn't just pick Jacob over Esau. He just picked the younger over the elder. And whoever came out first is whoever came out first, and whoever came out second is whoever came out second. The point is, he's just going to highlight his own will, his own power in this family. Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Why? So it wouldn't be of works, it's of him that calleth. It's of God. It's God's work to do this. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That's some other things, but the point is really simple. You and I look back on these things, and if you're not careful, or if you're prone to, you know, just the fatalistic mindset of God just choosing one over the other, he did make a choice because there were two boys to make a choice from. But he didn't make a choice based on the individual. He didn't make a choice because Jacob was better than Esau. He didn't make a choice because Esau was worse than Jacob. He made a choice to overturn the natural process and highlight his own power and glory and his own benefits. And so he says the elder shall serve the younger, and that's what you get out of this thing. The Lord's just ignoring the natural order of things. So this is not, these are probably the best, some of the best illustration that Calvinists have about this stuff. And I hate to make a whole sermon about, you know, I don't know, talking about another group of people, but it's becoming so prevalent, and it's even prevalent in our minds. We get to this stuff and we get confused about it because we're saturated with this fatalistic stuff, and you're like, well, how do I interpret this? And we're thinking, well, he just chose Jacob over Esau, but he didn't choose Jacob over Esau. He just chose the younger over the elder. And if you can wrap your mind around, I mean, that's all he's done. And that the express purpose of that is so that God's power would continue to be manifest, and the blessings that come Jacob's way are not going to be blessings that, I mean, it happens to be Jacob, then the blessings that come his way are not going to be blessings that he's owed naturally. They're going to be blessings that God is intervening on his life to give him. So all that said, this is not about the predestination of an individual. You and I, it's easy for us to look back and say that and say, God just, when he says that he's just choosing Jacob over Esau, understand, he is not choosing Jacob over Esau. That's not what he said he was going to do. And furthermore, like I said, it really doesn't matter which one of them's older or younger. It's about God's power and God's blessings through this family. Where is the Messiah going to come from? Under which of these boys is going to carry the line of the Messiah? Well, it's going to come now through Jacob. He's the younger one. Is it because he's more righteous than Esau? No. Is it because, you know, God could just in his foreseeing, he just knew Jacob was going to be a better man? No. That has nothing to do with any of this. Because it's not about Jacob, it's about the power of God. It's not about Esau, it's about the power of God. So, all that said, this is, like I said, the best examples that, you know, Calvinists can use. And I think for a lot of Bible-believing folks, it gets confusing. And it doesn't have to be confusing. It's about God's power. It's not about these individual men. It's not about, like I said, Jacob over Esau or Esau over Jacob. It's about God overturning just the natural order of things so that his power could be put on display, so that his blessings could be put on display. And so that's all the statement is. It's not that difficult, but man, people make it so difficult. Just make it so difficult. And then we read back into it all the stuff that we now know. And I mean, it's not that difficult. It's a simple statement. And the purpose of it is to put on display God's power, God's blessings, God's honor, and the messianic line. Where is that going? Who's that coming through? So I hope that's helpful to you. I mean, I've dealt with some of this stuff for a while now, and I know some folks who don't even believe this Calvinistic stuff, and they get confused. I mean, what do I do with these verses? Well, that's what you do with the verses. It's not that difficult. Just, you know, read the words. Just read what he said. The elder shall serve the younger. That doesn't say Jacob shall serve Esau or Esau shall serve Jacob. You look at that way because you look back on it. That's not what he said. Just the elder serves the younger. And that's the younger's going to carry the line of the Messiah. That's what's going to happen. So anyhow, that's all I got tonight. I hope it's helpful to explain these things. You're going to encounter them at some point if you have any sort of dealings in ministry or anything like that. But God does not choose. He does not choose winners and losers before they're born. He does not choose people to go to hell before they're born or people to go to heaven before they're born. God doesn't do that. People have choices. Knowledge of good and evil plays a part, but people make choices. And the Lord's going to let you make choices. So anyhow, that's a little explanation of those verses, and I hope that is helpful. Let's pray, and then we will go eat and play dominoes or something. All right, Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. I pray we could read the verses that we've read now with a renewed understanding and just a cleared up thoughts, not these goofy thoughts about, you know, God just damning people to hell just before they're even born, and God taking people to heaven before they're even born and stuff like that. It's just ridiculous stuff. But thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I do again pray for Irma and Amanda and the family, that Irma could get the right medications or whatever she needs, whatever the needs are in her body there. Pray you give Amanda some help and helping her mom and all that. And thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Oh, and for the food. Thank you for the food that we're about to eat. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.